Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up, and welcome to the first installment of The Breakaway, formerly The Hockey Report, but Lonnie Schwartz announced his retirement last week. Good luck to Lonnie Schwartz. And since we have The Breakaway, I had to break away. You never heard him on. He's the Hall of Famer, Steve Carney of WDE Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida, pre- and post-game show host for the Tampa Bay Lightning, the best team in the National Hockey League. Laurie Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed. Now, let's get to your team, Steve, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Are you surprised, considering they did not make the playoffs last year, are you surprised that they're the best team in the National Hockey League through the quarter of the season?
No, I'm not surprised at all, Joe. I think that this is a team that, you look at it, the two previous seasons, they went to the conference final against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and then the year prior went to the Stanley Cup final against the Chicago Blackhawks. This was a team that was absolutely beat up, worn out at the basically from the first 20% of the season, and really – They finally got into a role late in the season, but it was just too late. They just were so worn out. And then with injuries to both Steven Stamkos and Ryan Callahan, you missed Ryan Callahan last year for all but, I think, 5 or 6 games. Stamkos missed the second half of the year with a torn knee ligament, and not having those two guys was huge for them to basically miss the playoffs. You get a full off season to rest. These guys were ready to go when the World Cup of Hockey came around, and they basically got in their big workouts in the World Cup of Hockey, and they were ready for this NHL regular season. The only thing that we were wondering about here in Tampa was what we were going to see out of Mikhail Sergachev. They get this defenseman. They have to trade Jonathan Drouin, who had a big run here in Tampa Bay, but Steve Yzerman, the Lightning general manager, just showed why he's the Svengali pulling Jedi mind tricks on other general managers, as Jonathan Drouin had an awful start to his Montreal tenure. And Sergachev has been fantastic. He's outscored Drouin, and he hasn't forgotten his passport and had to miss games because of it, like Drouin has. So good on Steve Yzerman, good on the Lightning. We definitely saw this coming, and it's good on them.
Now, you mentioned Steve Yzerman, great offseason that he did, the GM of the offseason, maybe the GM of the year already. But let's talk about Steven Stamkos going from goal scorer to a assist machine there. That has to be surprising. And can that line keep it up?
Well, you end up being an assist machine when you've got a guy like Nikita Kucherov on the other side that's been able to basically find the back of the net almost at will. I mean, he had maybe one of the most amazing starts to a season that I've seen out of any Tampa Bay Lightning player since I've been here in the market, which is closing in on 15 years. They've moved. I know John Cooper is starting to tweak the lines a little bit here as we get into the middle part of the season. The last contest against San Jose, they took and they split up Stamkos and Kucherov, and it really helped. After losing 3 of 4 on their last road trip, they get a 5-2 win over the Sharks, and now they've got their next 3 games also at home for a 4-game homestand, basically leading up almost to the Christmas holiday. I certainly think that they can keep it up. And Steven Stamkos just shows that he's an all-around hockey genius.
All right, so we're going to go quick fire here. We're about 26, 27, 28 games into the season, so more than a quarter mark here. Rory, first, we're going to start off with you. You've been very, very quiet. Your team in the National Hockey League is the New York Rangers. Let's talk about the Rangers, and let's talk about sort of in the Rangers division. Philadelphia, losers of 10 in a row. Yes, 10 in a row. What changes do you think that the Flyers are going to make?
You got to start trading people. You got to start looking at a different avenue and to make your team a winning organization. It's like the Rangers, right? And it's funny with the Philadelphia situation. I don't know what's up with that. But it's like with my Rangers. This team is the last 2 years, right, I watched these guys play, and they get in the playoffs, and they're supposed to project it to do great, and then the 1 year, 2 years ago, we lose against Tampa Bay. I almost had a conniption fit. And I don't even want to talk about losing Ottawa last year. The thing is with a lot of these teams that we see happen is these guys, I feel that they get too complacent. And when I say too complacent, they get too comfortable. Yeah, Tortorella was our best coach that we had, right? But when you look at it, you know, and you look at these teams, like, take principle, take a certain formula that you see Babcock got over there in Toronto, right? So if every team could have a Babcock, every team would be working wonders. That's the way I got to say it.
All right, Steve, sort of the same question, but I want to mention, forget about the Flyers also. Let's talk about the Red Wings, losers 7 of a row. And opposite way, Montreal, everybody was saying, oh, my gosh, what's happening with the Canadiens? And now they're winning and defeating Detroit 10-1 on Hockey Night in Canada this past Saturday. Whichever one you want to start off first, Steve.
Yeah, well, I don't know what's going on with Detroit. This is absolutely amazing with what they've done here, and especially watching Montreal put 10. Are we back in the heyday of offense for the NHL in the late in the mid to late 80s with Wayne Gretzky and Steve Yzerman and Sergei Fedorov and Mario Lemieux? I mean, you don't see teams put up 10 goals on a team very often. And I look at what they – I mean, you look at – in that game, you got a hat trick. You saw Alex Galchenyuk get 4 assists in that game. All the people scoring in that game with Deloria and Dale Rose and Carr and Hudson and Hudon and Gallagher and Jordy Benn, Andrew Shaw – I thought that they were going to have Chris Osgood or Mike Vernon come off the bench and take a shift in the offense and get a goal. That's how bad how bad it was for the Red Wings in that one. I expected to see Mike Vernon in net before too long. That's how bad it's been for Detroit right now. They're in bad shape.
So we're going to actually close out this segment. But before I close out the first episode of The Breakaway, I'm going to ask you, Steve or Andrew, if I told you in mid-December, the best team in the National Hockey League in the Western Conference will be the Winnipeg Jets, what would you say? All right, you're stunned. Both of you guys are stunned. Rory, go ahead.
It's Winnipeg, you know. Every year in sports, we always see, I like to call, phantom teams start hot, then they cool off, then they get into the playoffs, and they get blasted in the first round. And that the same thing happened with Columbus Blue Jackets last year. So Winnipeg, they're no different. They're going to get in. They get in, should I say, and lose.
All right, Steve.
Yeah, with Winnipeg, I think that you look at their goalie, which is definitely the goaltending. Getting the good goaltending has certainly helped with Winnipeg, but I just don't see that Winnipeg can keep this up. And they're in a division that has everybody in that division is above 500. Winnipeg, St. Louis, Nashville, Dallas, Minnesota, Chicago, Colorado, all of them are at least 2 games over 500, and everybody has at least 26 points in that. I just don't see them being able to keep St. Louis and Nashville. I mean, Nashville's got, you know, last year's Stanley Cup final representative from the Western Conference. Chicago has Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, and those two guys have so much experience down the stretch that Winnipeg just doesn't have. You know, Dallas has a fantastic goaltender in Ben Bishop. You know, all of these guys have proven that they can handle the stretch run, and I would say that, you know, once the All-Star break comes around and everybody gets done coming down here to Tampa to have a good time, I have a feeling that Winnipeg is going to end up petering out at some point.
All right. So I'm going to ask you both, what can be done with the Edmonton Oilers? Last year's Cinderella, going to Game 7 of the second round, losing to Anaheim, and they have arguably the best player in the league, Connor McDavid, but what else? What can be done with the Edmonton Oilers? First, we'll start off with Rory.
Just produce younger talent. You know, this is the thing with sports teams is, you know, you have all this young talent and you get to the hump, you get to the playoffs, and then you kind of have to reset the next year because teams focus differently on you. Now, teams are playing Connor very, very differently, right? So, you know, it's just more now kind of where you have to look at kind of the same person like Ovechkin, where, you know, Ovechkin's biggest gripe is he can't get to the big one. So for Connor to kind of emulate to get to that next level, get to at least the Western Conference Final or get to the big one, he has to retool, reshape, and then also at the same time has to put trust into the youth movement that they have in Edmonton. I think Edmonton's ready, in my personal opinion. Give them a couple of years. Give them 2 to 3 years. They're going to be on the top of the Western Conference, and they're going to be a team to be reckoned with.
Steve?
Well, the problem is they get into too many track meets up at that new building in Edmonton. I'm going back through some of these games. I mean, you look at, you know, 7-5, 6-4, 6-2, 8-3, 6-3, 8-2. These guys love playing track meets. They just love to skate up and down the ice, and they don't care if anybody is in that net, obviously. I just think that, you know, Edmonton will only get better when their goaltending gets better.
Now, final question. A couple months, we're heading to the Olympics here. Are you guys going to be watching it, and do you think the NHL will suffer by not having NHL players at the Olympics, Steve?
I don't think that the NHL is going to suffer because the players aren't over there. I think it's going to be better for the NHL because every time that they would let the NHL players go over, you end up having to take the Olympic break. Everybody gets – you already have an all-star break, and you want to – you want to make the break later and you want to make the break longer. That's not good for the players, and most of them would be playing in it anyway, and some of them would possibly be getting hurt playing for their country when they get paid to play by their team. I think it's fine to not have the NHL players in the Olympics, and I think it's going to make it a lot more interesting for hockey fans, because now you're going to be able to look for new guys to root for. And, oh, look at this guy playing in college, or this guy playing in juniors, or this guy playing in the KHL. How great would it be to see my team pick that guy up? That guy does exactly what I want. I think it's great for hockey fans, and despite what the players may think, it's actually good for the NHL as well.
I'm going to ask you, Steve, and then I'll ask Rory, who's going to win the gold medal in this year's Olympics? Go ahead, Steve.
Wow, the Finns are always so good defensively. I will say, as you know, since there are no NHL players in it, I'm not going to say Canada. I'm going to say Finland.
All right, Maury.
There's only really three teams when it comes to that national level: it's Canada, U.S., and Russia. So it's one of those three teams.
All right. Well, you guys, first installment, you know, sorry? First installment of The Breakaway here on barnburner.ca with Steve Carney of WDE Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida. the best team in the National Hockey League, and Laurie Mitchell on the Mitchell Report Unleashed. Steve, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Yep, you can follow me on Twitter at Steve Carney, and also you can check me out weekdays 3 to 6 on 620 WBAE here in Tampa with my friend Steve Dumick. And then, of course, if you're not in the Tampa Bay market, you can listen live and on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, Rory.
You can follow me on Twitter, Rory EGN.
And Rory, I'll let you close it out. How was to be on the first ever installment of The Breakaway here on barnburner.ca?
It was a pleasure. Thank you for blessing me with the opportunity of talking some hockey.
Puck off already. Come on. All right. Steve, any last comments?
Yeah, it certainly was an odd man rush of sorts.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.